Thank you. Thank you. Let the realms open up. Let it open up. Let it open up. Let something supernatural occur here. Let there be a transformation, transformation, and a change of the environment of people. Let the physical be absorbed by the supernatural. Let the natural be superimposed with the supernatural. And let the realms become real tonight. Abukos koturu babas katara bada da bos shete de brete kesi brata para bos nata prekesu brada dash. Jesus name. I welcome everyone once again tonight. Let me appreciate your commitment for still sticking around for a third night. The Bible says that in that last day of the feast, Jesus cried, "Let the thirsty ones come." It's so strategic that all the glory that you have seen in the past 2 days is not will not be compared to what is about to be revealed to us and before us tonight, the experiences that are following. Tonight is a practical operation night. Practical is tangible tonight. And coming here is so strategic for everyone that has stuck around and made up their mind to be here. Tonight is the summit night of this assembly. And you know what a summit is? The summit is the peak, the apex, the zenith of a thing. That is the height. So tonight you are here at the summit night. Something will happen to you that forever in your days you will not recover. And I'm telling you by Jesus Christ that it is so. So we give God praise for you. Thank you, mighty God. We begin tonight according to this word. Tonight I'm teaching you what we try to give a caption to because of the nature and the shape it will come in. And we just sought for a way to caption it. I told us the direction and the body of what will be discussed yesterday. But because of it, the shape of this experience tonight, it became a task to caption it. So for want of the way to caption it for the time being, let's caption it as we are proceeding. Just systems, 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 systems. Listen, pay attention tonight. Tonight is an experience. Every other meeting has been an experience. But I said to you that the glory of the two meetings will not be able to, can, will not be compared to the glory that shall be expressed tonight. So if you have paid attention and you have given heed before now, this is the time to give every heed that you can give. Jesus is Lord. One of the things that God sent us to do in this generation is to lead the generations to their inheritance. The scripture explicitly teaches on the subject of inheritance. As a matter of fact, he said that you are heirs of God in Christ. That is, you share an inheritance in Christ Jesus. Even Jesus Christ has an inheritance in the Father. Psalm 2 verse 4 decrees. And further on, you see where he says, "I will give you the nations as an inheritance." That prophecy is for the Messiah. You see the prophecy about Messiah, you see it was his destiny to rule, to inherit all nations. Jesus Christ has an inheritance with the Father. That's why I say we are co-heirs with Christ, meaning Christ himself is an heir. So the subject of inheritance is very genuine. But the inheritance of God's kingdom are first spiritual things, spiritual realities that have physical expressions that one can take delivery of. So tonight I'm teaching on systems. Systems. Under systems, it's like it's a book I'm opening to you. So under these systems, we'll be passing through many corridors and chapters. And as much as we are able to, we'll be calling them by name. One of the things that God has said clearly is that you will lead the generations to their heritages. You will lead them to their inheritance. You will lead them to their inheritance. Why you see that we are things are being dug up, dug out, dug up, dug out. And it sounds new, it sounds unbelievable, but yes, people still take delivery of things. It's because somebody is leading you to your reality. The prophecy of God over your life, destination you are heading to. The prophecy of God over your life. So he said, Lekosh kapala bokosh ketala brahanda bakaskotele bebe librahanda bosh likosh katra labaha. The prophecy of God over your life is your destination. He said, lead this generation to their destiny. That destiny is an inheritance with Christ. We spoke about it. That the life you will live will be seen in Jesus Christ. That is an inheritance. But those inheritance that you will possess in Jesus Christ are the Christ inheritance that the Father is giving to him. So he said, lead the generations to their destiny. The destiny you will possess too is given to you as an inheritance. Because the destiny is prepared and packaged. An inheritance is something that is already available and is given to you. A man has an estate and he gives it to his son as an inheritance. Everything is there, everything complete, the wealth is given to him. So the destiny you are to possess is already finished in Christ. The Bible says that all the works were finished. So lead them to their inheritance, lead them to their destiny. So what we are saying to you is that your identity can be different from who you are to who you are meant to be in Christ, because your destiny is given to you as a finished product. You're only supposed to grow into the fullness of it. Your destiny is finished in Christ. They have designed it and prepared it and perfected it. It is you who is walking to the fullness of it. The destiny is not, God is not trying to construct it again. They are available in Christ. God is trying to construct you to become your real, to become the prophecy. All the works of God are complete and perfected in him. It's you that work is still being done. Lead this generation to their inheritance. And he spoke by mysteries many years ago and still confirmed it by prophetic witness and still by prophetic revelation. So lead this generation to their inheritance. You can already see sign testimony saying my destiny is opening up. They are being led into what is theirs. Tonight there will be certain things going on. I'm teaching you systems, and the first corridor I'm bringing you to, I want to talk about the mountains of the earth. That's the book one. The mountains of the earth. Lehusika paradash. Keti kokoroko sak di maraka. Tekopokoski patakaya. Listen, I'm going to show you vision out of scripture. And listen, you will be immersed in the reality. Malabakasku peletekeria babash. Because Purush katabalata bus tetelebekes kupalakada. Because, my God, the mountains of the earth. In the days of the Old Testament, that vision is true. I'm showing you a vision now. I'm showing you a vision. God said to Moses, you will not lead these people to their destiny. The promised land was their destiny, where they will end up. He said, you will not lead them there. You have brought them out. A man called Joshua will lead them to their inheritance. So this man will lead them to their destiny. This is the chosen and the anointed one of God to lead this generation into their inheritance. That Joshua you continually hear has become a symbol of a prophetic testament that continues to reoccur in the body of Christ. You hear things saying the Joshua generation. If you are not new within the body of Christ, you would have heard it.
There are conferences built around the Joshua conference, the Joshua generation. When the Holy Spirit began to decree that prophecy into the hearts of his sons and prophets, he was passing a message. I've shared it here before, how a particular man of God was caught up in a storm in the United States. And the storm delayed their flights. And there was a pregnant woman who was caught up in a storm. And this is some many years ago, maybe about 20 years ago or thereabout. And the woman was caught up in the storm and was in labor and pressed hard and pushed hard and gave birth to a son. And she named the boy Joshua. And because there was a storm, the media outlets that reported the storm started referring to the storm as the Joshua storm. And God spoke to his prophet and said, there will be a storm, a Joshua storm, that is going to come through a set of people, the Joshua generation. That is God, when that prophet began to come into the knowledge of this realization. And you could see that this prophetic testament has continued to reoccur all within the body of Christ, that there is a prophetic generation called the Joshua generation. Listen, the Joshua generation, and I'm teaching you now, is the generation that will be guided by the spirit of Joshua. You didn't get it. They will be led by a spirit called Joshua. That spirit called Joshua will lead them into their destinies of new heritages, new inheritance, new corridors of possibilities, and an adjournment of the boundaries. When the boundary is shifted, it's an adjournment. So it's a generation that a spirit will guide. And you have heard about an Elijah spirit, the spirit of Elijah. There is the spirit of the man called Joshua. He will guide and lead a generation into their destiny. So when they say there is coming the Joshua generation, they are telling you that there is going to be a reenactment and the outpour. There is going to be the revisitation of the spirit of Joshua in a generation. And that spirit will guide the whole group of people into new depths in Christ. New depths in God, new realities and destinies that by any means they have not seen before. We said to you, your destiny is a finished product. God said to the Israelites, I'm taking you to a nation that the land is flowing with milk and honey. You will eat what you didn't sow. You will dig out of the ground and precious metals and this thing already. That kind of things, what is being said here, they were being catapulted into glory. If you make the transition, mediocrity all of a sudden, it's not because of you, it's because you have mind. There's a spirit called Joshua is to lead the generation. That spirit is present with us too. Malabarakush ketele pretekes iliko taparanda bus. That spirit is present now. Elekosi upadea libom dorotoski dabagada ilabokosi kalaba. Out of this anointing and this grace, and out of this operation of the Spirit of God, I'm declaring that wall broken over you in the name of Jesus. That you come forward and it's as if you can't go beyond that limit. You jam it every time you want to move. It has become an impediment in front of you. Right now, I speak by this word. I speak by this Spirit of God. I speak under this grace. It crumbles now before you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No any limitation. I speak out of the spirit of Joshua tonight. Nobody lives here with any limitation. It was the same spirit that brought down an insurmountable wall. It brought it down. So right now, I'm speaking to any wall, any boundary standing and in front of anyone right now. They are crumbled now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Today, tonight, you are encountering the spirit of a new generation, Joshua, that leads the people of God to possess promises. This spirit guided them. The man is not. You see, let me tell you. There are people that dig so much in Jesus Christ. Their identity is a spirit. You can see Elijah is a man, but they said his spirit will be on John the Baptist. This is not a new doctrine. I'm telling you the mysteries that occur in the realm of the kingdom. There's also a spirit called Joshua. The prophets, the sons of the prophets knew that these operations are possible in God. They say that the spirit of Elijah is now on Elisha. They clearly identified that there's such a deposit. Now, from heaven, they knew when the angel Gabriel came to Zachariah, he still said the spirit of Elijah. So both heaven and earth are aware that the spirit of man, but inside of Christ, that the Holy Spirit works manifestations and signs, is a transferable spirit, and it can still come again from generation to generation. Is it not God that spoke in the book of Malachi? My God. That I will send Elijah again, the prophet. At that time, God would not even call it a spirit again. He said, this is now a person. So if I tell you Joshua is in your midst tonight, it's clear through scripture. He said, I will send Elijah, the prophet. When the angel came, he said, well, it's the spirit of Elijah. But before God, the spirit can turn a man to be the same individual. I'm speaking to you through realities, things that are occurring already. They are happening right before your eyes. To the day you make a shift. These people were slaves at the initial time, but in 1 second, they enter the destiny of royalty. Every man, comfort, abundance overnight. You may have been like a slave, come from the poorest local government in your state, went to a community school where you didn't even have to pay school fees to go to school, struggled and went through NCE and got a degree. I don't care your qualification. Tonight you shift into glory, irrespective of wherever you are coming from. If slaves could become kings, there's nothing else in God that is not possible. So I'm preaching it to your spirit tonight, decreeing it over you. I don't care where you came from, even if you do not have a university certificate. As you shift into glory tonight, your life will radiate realms of my God.
Amen.
Your life radiates realms of honor and opulence in Christ. If you shift tonight, Kai Malaku Sekete, these are realities possible. I'm not teaching you realities. All of these are dimensions that are real, not information that you learn. They are dimensions. Into reality. Oh my God. Into the land. I korosh ni dikila paratosh mi tapakiza yakendo. Now let's enter into the land. See, tonight is an experience. Let's enter into the land. Like I said to you, I'm reading the vision. So let's enter the promised land. The spirit of Joshua is here tonight. So let's enter the promised land. You have read scripture and bring enter the promised land. The first thing we began to see were the people that possess the promised land, which is why I'm telling you already that the place God is taking you may not be vacant. Because we are here in the promised land and we are seeing strange men and women. Foreigners occupying your destiny, people of unbelievable stature. Look at the promised land now. It is going on. Music is going on. People are just moving around. There's continuity, there's occurrence right there. But God said, these people, they are not the place. These individuals, they don't belong here. It is yours. So they divided according to and brought out the generations and the men that will divide the inheritance. And God spoke to Caleb through the prophet Moses and said, the land that your feet have stepped upon, God will give to you as an inheritance. He was 45 years. 40 years later, he was 85. And then he approached and said,
we were together when God decreed over me. Now I'm reading from Joshua 13. I'm reading it to you as vision. We were together when God said this over me. Let's look at Numbers, Joshua chapter 13. Remember, we are in book 1, the mountains of the earth. Or the mountains. The mountains. So that's book 1. Joshua 13. Or is it Joshua 13? No, let's look at. My God. Let's go there. We know which one to begin from. Taliso Paradish Kapunaya. Matias Keporutus Ketarabash. Father, we give you praise. Scopenda Paratumese. Lobotokuski Paradagada. Joshua 14. Let's start from 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua and Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. I brought out word to him as well." All right, go to verse 10. He said, "Now, behold, the Lord has kept me," verse 10, "as he said, these 40 years, ever since the Lord spoke the word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 80 and 5 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on that day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was. Then so now is my strength for war, both for coming in and for coming in, going out and for coming." Then he said in verse 12, "Now therefore, give me this mountain which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and the cities were great and fortified. Maybe that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. 14 said, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kajet Abba. Abba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had the rest from war. Hallelujah. Now, you know what's going on? He entered the land of inheritance and he saw all the plain, but he asked for the mountain. The mountain is the sphere of influence in the promised land. The mountain is the area of authority and power. He himself was the one who asked for the mountain. There were plains, there were valleys, there were lowlands, and there are people whose inheritance fell into lowlands. But when they gave him opportunity to choose the inheritance he wanted, he asked for the mountain. He asked for the sphere of influence. You can already read through history what mountain holds. Mountains are regarded as place of high level spiritual traffic and intensity, where supernatural. Moses met God on a mountain. God came down on a mountain. Elijah traveled 40 days to a mountain to hear from God. Jesus taught his beatitudes from a mountain. Jesus was changed into glory on a mountain, transfiguration. So, Caleb asked for this sphere, influence and mountains. So he said, "Give me this mountain." Which is why I'm talking to us about mountains, the mountains. The mountains are the spheres of influence in the promised land. But mind you, the promised land is not a vacant space. The promised land is already an environment that is above activity, above with culture going on already. But when he spoke, "Give me the mountain," not just any mountain in the region of Hebron. Those places are the sphere. And let me tell you, in the promised land till date, places.
But wait, your promised land is not an empty space. Listen now. If your promised land is academics, there's a mountain there. If your promised land is ministry, as in terms of service, religion, there's a mountain there. If your promise, your destination, there's a mountain there. If your promised land drag, mountains there. You can all agree with me that everybody is in medicine are delivering at the same level of impact. You know why? Some are the lowland, some are staying with the mountain top. Listen, the promised land is not a vacant space. I will show you through scripture as we proceed. Caleb stepped into the promised land, the lowland. He said, give me the mountain. I'm speaking to you as if you are being sent forth into destiny. Emmanuel, your destiny. Don't dare ask for the lowland. Don't ask. Tonight, as you proceed to destiny and to war, ask for the lowland. Listen, collecting tonight, and for everyone who will hear this to the promised land and send forth to destiny with the lowland, seek for the mountains. Seek for the mountains. Seek for. As you are stepping into your death, as an importer, as a trader, you dare not operate from the lowland. You dare not. Seek for the mountains. For every sphere endeavor tonight into, you dare not ask for lowland. Ask for the mountain. Lekitoshi. Everyone going into ministry, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you dare not settle on the valley. Telling you tonight, go to the mountaintop. Because until you speak from the mountain floor top, you have no influence. Go to the mountain. Hence, how will you cast out devils from lowlands? At the top of the mountain, you will see influence. That is the summit. That is the summit. Send forth into destiny in various aspects and parts, various dimensions and realms. As you are proceeding into your destiny, don't come back with the badge of the people that Koko Sigaba. Those guys said to the king, their God is the God of the valley, of the mountain. I will show you that I'm both God of the mountain and the valley. What I'm saying to you, that both the valley will be God with you there. Why not choose the mountain if you'll be God with you there too? Both realms. If he said before you what is glorious and what is most, whatever you do currently, you dare not camp on the lowlands. You have no influence or impact. Most, my God. Caleb asked for the mountain. Why, what kind of individual is that? He said to God, because it was, he was speaking with the prophet Joshua, but he was making a prayer. He said to God, give me influence. Give me the place of influence. Give me where power dwells. Give me where there's authority. Give me where there's authority. Give me where my voice can be heard. Give me where I have authority and power to demonstrate that the glory of God and the rule of heaven. Don't give me the lowlands. I'll be like everyone else. Give me high things. Give me the heights. Give me the summit. Give me the tops. And they said, it is yours. Tonight, God is saying to somebody asking, it is yours. Kare koshiga bakadia, lekoti praktika. yours. Did I hear you ask for the mountain? Take, it is yours. Go, go, go. He said, we seek for whom to send to this face. Now, if you say, here I am, Lord, I am ready. Use me. Say, go now. If you will keep your heart true and follow according to the pattern of kingdom and follow the agenda and not delay for it, ask now for the mountains. Take, it is yours. Wow, my God. Kuro pandala mekosi kanaba. The same God spoke and said, let's leave that. Lepotosha. Caleb said, give me the high things. Give me the high spheres. Give me the high things. Give me the items. Now, poru matio, elegikia tekolo perekes mikuru, bambo rotudos sotomba lotekes, kikurus ki baranas seteborotos, zakilane prataba. But here we have something going on. The place that Caleb asked for was the hardest place. Komene ke koronia. If you have requested for a lion's share, please start putting on your lion's hat. Kokoramata. He asked for the high things, but the high things were the locations of the hard things. Now, this is something else. Caleb was there in the days when they went to spy the land 45 years ago. 45 years ago. You heard his testimony. He said, I was 40 years then. Now I'm 85. That means after the 40 years cycle, they took 5 years to conquer to the point where they could now ask for inheritance. So he saw the land, but if he saw everything, so he wasn't asking because he was not aware. Where he asked for the high things, and I'm very grateful that, Mokola Prataka, Jesus. The high things he asked for were the hard things. Koi, keleti kasu, kopania. Because it is hard doesn't mean it is impossible. Ko, the high things. But in requesting for high things, he asked for hard things. Lobokosia. Ikoro shigeru ni shigara shigokorosia. Kati breni kazuze. Koti brana tepunda lekunda teki tokundia tambaran de kundi kande pandia pereke zubreni kozizi bruneke vari ke kodire ke sizi zo prendere refe kuserma kapure dike ke furadi voko jigegerange sembak. The Israelites journeyed through the 12 spies when they spied the land. Saw the Anakims and they were scared. Woo! Who are the Anakims? Are a breed on it. Porotoko suprana katekoropatia. The Hebrew word for Anakim is Nephilim. Ozokuru. Barandi kokopere te pratise kurandia. These Nephilims were the people that formed the major cause why the destiny of Noah had to be enacted the way it was. Listen, the Anakim was a race of people in the earth that were identifiable by traits because they were superhuman. They had traits that were not humanly. Listen, Korobakata. Let's not look for their origin in scriptures. But the Anakims came from the Nephilims. They were a hybrid order of creation. They existed in the earth. You will see, look, when the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 6 that in those days there were giants in the earth, the Hebrew word is Nephilim. When the people said they saw giants, right? They saw giants in the book of Numbers 13, it was the same Nephilim they were referring to. Now, they were referred to as giants, but in scripture, the word giant, when you see translations giant, especially in Numbers 13, is actually Nephilim. And also in the book of Joshua. There are two words for giant in Hebrew as revealed through scripture. One is, there is Riphaim. Riphaim literally means giant. But there is Nephilim. Nephilim is traceable to Genesis chapter 6. There were a combination of a super breed of creations that were abounded there, and they were distinguished by superhuman features because they were not normal. You can already see,
my God, can we, let's go to Leprotoski Paradabum Seterebekis Kotarababash Yeko Sepradaha. Let's go to Joshua 15. Can we hear me clearly now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Very good.
Maskoporodas Zik Dish Meskeperen Maskitarabash. Try to pull out a scripture for us. Riekus kupretetes, kelebekes you, rapandabus, ni pratakas kupreteha, katirebesundra la bakaskios, ilepekete kete preketusi pratata. Father, we give you praise. Karababako sekrebe. All right. Go to. Okay, let's read at Joshua 11:21. And at that time, Joshua came and cut off the Anakim from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir. Please listen, see what I'm saying. From Anab, from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel, Joshua utterly destroyed them in their cities. None of the Anakims were left in the land of the children of Israel. They remained only in Gaza, in Gat, in Ashdod. Now, look at Joshua 13. Now look at what God said to him. He said, you are old and stricken in age. He said, this is the land that remains yet. Joshua couldn't divide all the lands because they couldn't conquer the land because he grew old. He said, this is the land that is remaining. He said, all the lands of the Philistines. He now mentioned the lands of the Philistines. He said, Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gittites, Ekron, and Avites. If you look at 11 where we read 21, you will realize that this Anakim, they drove them out of Hebron, but they remained in Gath. They remained in Gaza, in Ashdod. Where did Goliath come from? Goliath came from Gath. The descendants of the Nephilim, they were remaining in the land of the Philistines. Which is why you will see that in the book of Second Samuel, they were showing you giants that had six fingers, six toes. They all came from Gath. They said that there was a man that was a father of giants in Gath. All those Gaths were the land of the Philistines. Do you see why there's enmity between the Philistines and the seed of Israel? I won't talk about that, but it's all tied to inheritance because their forefathers were driven out of their stronghold. Now, what am I trying to say? The people that Joshua asked for their land, they were a combination of abnormal feats. Maybe you doubt the word. That let me take you to 2 Samuel so that you could see some giants, some of these Nephilims and their features. Tekisos, Zotipa, Kerotom Bratas Kepranas Koperedia. Let's go to 2 Samuel. You can take the reference down. Labakasko terebebesko paradash. Labakatosko tolobrodogos. Kuro boboskata. Where do we begin to read from? Kuro boboskata labakata katabakasko telebekosibale. Now, look, let's read from 21, 2 Samuel 21, verse 8. Now, it happened that afterward there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibachai, the Hushite, killed Saph, who was one of the sons of the giants. There was the giant giving birth to these four guys.
He said, again, there was war at Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jare, or Rigim, the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath, the Gittite. Goliath had a brother. That means there was a full genealogy of those folks. You can see Gittite here mentioned in Joshua chapter 13 when God was telling him the land that remained. You can already see it when they say that the Anakims were left in the land of the Philistines. These are Philistines. They say the shaft of his spear was like, these guys, their spear is bigger than a full adult. He said there was a war at Gath. Then there was a man of great stature who had 6 fingers on each hand. He said 6 toes on each foot. He was also born to the giant. There was a giant giving birth. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, his brother, killed him. He said 22, say that's 21, 22. He said these 4 years were born to the giant in Gath. So there was a giant already in Gath, because when they were defeated and driven out of Hebron, they went to the land of the Philistines and continued to proliferate the game and multiply. What Caleb asked for was as though he wanted to war with people that had superhuman abilities. It's as though he asked for battle with demigods. It's as though he asked for conflict with so-called Hercules. Superhuman feet. He said about these folks that their feet, we will trust God to do an extensive biblical exegesis on these people, and we'll show you what it looked like. But Caleb asked for those mountains, knowing the people that dwelt there. Now, let me tell you, when he asked for those places, he said, if God, as God is with me, I will drive them out. Now, listen, there are companies and businesses on the mountaintops that are not running by natural law. Some of them are occultic. There are companies in the US today that all their CEOs are Freemasons, people that are part of the Illuminati. Their company is hinged with a fallen angel that incorporates with it. It's a superstructure, a demonic one. You didn't see that. That's an Anakim. Kotomikata, he lives on the mountain. Bakuru Shagana Boru Tokosia. There was a big whistle blow some 12, 13, 14 years ago when he became rampant about the fact that a whole lot of influential people on earth belong to a secret cult. Though at some point people began to extrapolate, so it lost relevance because they began to apply anything. Everybody, at the end of the day, everybody was now in the cult. So people, it was, and that was a tactic to make that research lose effect. So at the end of the day, everybody was not part of it. So people say, they started naming everybody, even people that don't ever have money to join. They put their name there. So it lost, it was discredited. But there was truth in it. And we have looked into the origin of that thing called Illuminati. And that thing, sir, started many centuries ago. You see big organizations in there today. Let me tell you, the year 2020, it was a satanic agenda. You can already see big corporations buying in. Those people are satanically motivated. They come and tell you they are atheists, they don't believe in God. No, they are occultists, they are Freemasons, they are Satanists, they worship Satan. Satan energizes their structure. Their superstructure on earth is an Anakim. It's run by human DNA and spirit DNA. Their corporation is indeed a corporation, but it's a fallen watcher combined together with a human being, forming an integrated system. So it's a satanic structure on it. Sir, they are the ones who are at the summit. That is what Caleb asked for. Koromi Talaba, you are entering IT. The man who owns one of the biggest compute IT organizations on earth is a self-declared atheist, but beyond an atheist is more. You know who I'm talking about. He was one of the front prophet. He was one of the prophets that prophesied doom on Africa, that he fell back on their head, said there will be dead bodies littered everywhere. Holy Ghost fire. Listen, the people like Karl Marx, who is the prophet of communism, who decreed to be atheists, their records show them to be Satanists. Pure Satanist. What about Sigmund Freud? Pure Satanist. Even the so-called Adolf Hitler, the perpetrator of the World War, all of them, they are shown to be pure Satanist. They be occultic people were their best friend. You can already see the symbol of the swastika. It was it's an occultic symbol. The superstructure of anarchy. Demonic entities having humans form, but they are not natural. You look for the anarchy in flesh, they are already working among you as systems. Kopala di Kalash, Mekito. Said, I will drive these people out. Hebron is a major place of inheritance. That is where David was crowned king. Patriarch Abraham dwelt. Read through scriptures. It's a significant spot. It was a major place of inheritance. Judah is the tribe of the king. It's Jesus' tribe on it. That is where they want to stay. That is where they like. That is where David was anointed king, the Messiah of the Old Testament, according to prophetic revelation. Do you think you want to go to mountains and drive out Anakims? That is why when the people saw them and didn't have God in their heart, they were terrified. Like if I say to somebody now, your business, your computers, the vision of God you have, we topple Microsoft. You say, no, it has been around for so long. We can't undo Microsoft. You are like those folks in Numbers 13. They are giants. You are like grasshopper. See where I'm coming from. I can't take it over. You are just like them. You condemn them when you teach and preach. But see you now, you are like them. If I say that this media production that has been for donkey years, your business will topple it over. You will say, I know now. They have the sophisticated equipments. I'm just me. How will it happen? You are like those folks in Numbers 13. Anakims. A combination, superhuman, demonic, demon traits, human form. They are like ordinary structures and system, but they are Satan walking. Koro Tala Baki Sokorobos. Let me tell you a story. I heard a story from a particular vessel of God. A woman walked into his meeting. She was a medical practitioner. And he began to pray and he said to her, he said, God is giving you authority and influence in your place of work. Giving you authority and influence. Authority and influence. Authority and influence in your place of work. And God is going to give you spiritual authority and grace. And he prayed for her. And then she now began to intercede and pray for organization. He didn't even know if she worked in an hospital. So one day while she was praying in the office and all about that, God opened her eyes and she saw the word, her own word in the hospital where she was in charge of. And she saw a writing in a language she doesn't understand. And she asked God, and she asked the Spirit, say, what is that thing? And God said, what is written there is death. And then he flashed to her that the women who come to deliver in that world all die. As a matter of fact, the staff that we attach that word, their husbands will die, their wives will die. Something was just happening about death. And God said to her, now pray against it that it be wiped off. And she prayed and it was cleaned. And then the man of God remarked and said, that death that was written there, it was something or someone who wrote it in the realm of the spirit. Some persons who work in structures have no idea. Now this is the disclaimer. I'm not telling you now that every corporation you see, you look for Satan inside. No, some are just ordinary operations that have excellent operations in place. But beyond that, there are still other satanic ones that are antichrist motivated. Some are calling the names of, we care for the world, is Satan wearing uniform. Caleb asked for the mountains. On the mountains, you will meet Anakim. What I'm telling you is that the places where you are supposed to go and give praise to God and glory to God, they are not vacant. Now I will show you what I want to show you.
Somebody open to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 5 to 7. Let Emmanuel do that for us, if he can, and his place is convenient. Okay, if he's delaying and if comfort is there, Peter. Yes. Genesis 12, 5 to 7. Now, listen to the word of God.
All right. 5 to 7, it says, "And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him."
Praise the Lord.
Now, I was studying this scripture some years ago, and then God just isolated this portion. And the Canaanites were then in the land. And then I saw that this place of inheritance was already occupied by people. And when God gave it to him, people were still occupying it. And he said to me through that word, where you are going to is can be occupied by people already. But it has been given to you as an inheritance. People still stay in the place you are going to, but they are outside of God's arrangement and will and purpose. The will of God is to hand it to you. It is yours. And then I saw that inheritance is not something you go into and you now collect it. It's something you go into and you dispossess sometimes. That's why God said to the Israelites, he said, "I have given to you Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and his land. Now contend with him in battle and begin to possess it." That is why the spirit of Joshua is not just a spirit that leads. It's a warrior spirit. The Israelites slew 33 kings on their, oh my God, 33 kings on their way to possess his promised land. And the news is that while Moses slew 2, Joshua slew 31. It's a violent, aggressive spirit that leads to possess inheritance in hard places. They don't care who you are. He caught some kings and put his feet, called the young men, just say, "Put your feet on their head." See, this is what God will do to every king. Every king, every obstacle you come before, their head will be under your feet. I'm prophesying to somebody, the head of the enemy and the opposition over your inheritance tonight, their head is under your feet. They are killed. The name of Jesus.
Amen.
Some persons find it difficult to believe this gospel. You are like Numbers 13 folks, because I'm showing you the word of God. Caleb asked for high things, but in asking for high things, he had asked for hard things. But he was not bothered. He said, "For as long as the Lord is with me." I'm showing you now, that Goliath David fought with came from Gath. They said there was a champion of Gath. I've showed you their origin in scripture, that they came from the Nephilim that migrated. And he had siblings, and there was a father that was giving birth to them. So you celebrate the man, David is a sweet psalmist. The people that are seeing and ask for the Davidic anointing, they don't know that David is a dreadful man in battle. He also faced the Anakim. He pulled him down with the foolishness of his stone. And then afterwards, he was accepted into the kingdom. Kara kuku shikara, does it make sense to you that the same land where he was anointed king as at the first was where is the nativity and the origin of the giant he faced? Do you know the funny thing? Let me shock you. David was still wielding the sword of Goliath. They gave it to him in the tabernacle, and it became his weapon. The sword Goliath wielded, they gave it to David when he left. He said, "Except the sword of Goliath," he said, "bring it." Only God knows the height of that sword, but David fought with it in battle. there was an next thing. He slew the head of the man and held, he took the head. He took the head. He took the head. He killed him, slew him, slew him. He brought down his Ananakim. And then he was ushered into the throne. You ask for high things, you ask for hard things. But hard is not impossible. With the Lord your God, you can get it done. Mokoski barata. Now, we have entered the next book. My God. We have entered the next book. Now we see the inheritance. And I told you, in the place of inheritance, there are mountains in the land. Which is why Caleb looked and saw that there was a lowland and there was a highland. But he said, no, give me the mountain. It's the mountain I desire. And I told you that there's a mountain in every sphere. It's the place of influence and authority. In your world of electronics, engineering, there are mountains there. Production, there are mountains there. In your professional world, there are mountains there. There are people who are the authority in your sphere. They have to speak and others listen. You know that. Now I want to move us further again to consider something. If it becomes too much, we'll round up. But I want to now teach you a strategy again, because I told you that we're looking at systems. These mountains, remember we said that when you enter the promised land and look at it from the mountaintop, you will see that it is abuzz with activities. Civilization is going on. Those, you see that in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, the Canaanites were already there in the land. They were living there. They had their way of life. Their culture was ongoing. They had everything going. When the Israelites went into the land, everything was ongoing still. They had their culture and their way of life. Listen, when you step into civilization, we have shifted now to another realm of teaching. What you will see is that civilization consists of various spheres. Now it's getting complex. Stay with us. If we want to change the world for Jesus Christ, we must identify what is civilization. Because the objective of taking over a mountain is to cast a genuine influence and bring a change. The one who occupies the mountain has authority and influence, and influence is bringing change through association. Influence talks about an alteration. He influenced his choice. There's a change. Where there is influence, there's a change. Where there is influence, there's a change. When they say somebody is driving under the influence, it means that some substance has altered what is normal, what is acceptable. There's an alteration. So when there is the casting of influence from the mountaintop, those who are under it will submit to it, because it's order and structure. You do not know that the people who are the power brokers of society regulate, influence how people live and decisions. Why are people suffering? Power decisions. Why is there no prayer in public spaces in the United States? Power decisions. They legislated it from the courtroom. So it has influenced a whole nation that they have gone away, or they have gone off. Morality is sinking zero. Corruption everywhere. Moral corruption. Decadence of the highest order. They have influenced the direction of a whole generation because they have power to influence decision. So there are mountains that are the power brokers of civilization and culture. We have moved though, because they are pillars of society and government. Let's take a microcosm, for instance, or let's build a model society, and then we can x-ray it and draw out wisdom. We have moved to another plane. Please now pay attention. We are about to build a model society. So we'll build it from scratch. Then you can understand what we are saying. Let's say that we have a city before you that is forming. Have you seen a 3D animation of a model? Let's say a city is before you. The city consists of individuals, infrastructure, and government. Those individuals live amongst themselves. They have their belief system and the way they live. They have their religion. They have authority and leadership. They have the rules and the laws that govern it so that it can be a civil society and there will be order. Gender is means for how people will have a comfortable life. So there's creation of, there's skill acquisition, and these people produce food. There are those that produce food, and there are those that produce other kinds of services. The one who produces food, we need medication. So there's a medical doctor. The medical doctor is specialized in his skill, but he cannot go to the farm. So he's being served by the one who produces food, and he provides services of treating. But at the same time, there are those who try to reconcile and make sure others escaped, and there's no uprising. So they are assigned to ensure and to enforce order so that everybody's living in peace and there's safety. That now gives you that there are different identities of the individuals within. All of these fears occur, but yet there are families and their children. And these children will grow up. So there's a system of trying to instruct them on what is right and what is good so that they will not extinguish themselves. So there's lawful order. So there's a system of training and education. And teaching them to be productive in society, they send them to acquire knowledge in respective skills. That is the basic ordinary society. This was the way society looked from ancient time. Before all the formalities and the formal institution of education and technological colleges and all this thing came into being, and then the institution of the law enforcement agencies and law enforcement institutions that have a defined order and protocol and paraphernalia. I hope nobody's getting confused.
Yes,
but with civilization, there's a transition, there's an adjustment of order, there's sophistication. Within this modern day, there's what is called irreducible complexity. Irreducible complexity means that is the lowest level to which a thing can be made simpler. Take for instance, what is the basic principle behind your cooking? It's heat. Now, there are other sophisticated cooking machines and devices, if that's right. But all of them bring heat. You have your hot plates, you have your gas, you have your stove. Some bring out raw fire, some don't bring fire, they generate heat directly. No matter how you want to make it sophisticated, you can make it as sophisticated as you wish. Now there's a microwave that just sends forth energized particles that have energy, thermal energy, and heat up the content it passes to. But no matter how you want to make anything simple, you can't remove heat. That is at the place where the heat is, that is the lowest level it can be made simple. That is why you see that people use charcoal, it produces heat. Some use firewood, it produces it. There must be heat. Either you are using raw fire or you are using hot coals, but heat must be there. That is the least level of complexity. You can't make it any simpler, hence you won't cook nothing. In the same way, this description gives you the simplest definition of order in the society. My God, why am I teaching this? We are going somewhere. No matter how sophisticated our modern world is, it's just a glorified version of the simple thing I just showed us. It's just glorified. It's just made sophisticated, but it's still the same basic simple principles that run it. Within the modern world and civilizations, these spheres of mountains exist. These different areas of human life consist together to form the society we have. I'm showing you this because if you want to penetrate a sphere, you must know how it is arranged. Somebody is saying, where does this go? Where is this leading us? We are in a book. Makasku telegrateski paradakadia. Now listen. The modern society, I talked about agriculture. I talked about order and law. I talked about education and training. I talked about the family. I talked about the people living with each other and trying to find meaning as life goes and enjoy their life as they are going, making sense, living together communally, becoming a community. All of these people are influenced by separate arrangements that take care of that order of life, which is why you now see that society is separated into different categories. We have education as a pillar on its own. We have government and politics as a pillar of its own. We have, let's say, entertainment as a pillar on its own. We have art, culture as a pillar or as a mountain on its own. We have people's religion where they try to find meaning for living as a pillar on its own. All of these form the sphere of existence, society. And let me tell you, everybody on earth is built around one. Everybody on earth. If I want, all of you have been impacted by both ways. You went through school. You have a religion, you have faith. There's what you believe in. You are under a government. Sometimes you just want to go to the cinema. And at the same time, you are impacted by economy. You want to see how needs are met. This forms a society. We can build a nation here and destroy it on paper. Yes, let me tell you. Before they build an aircraft, they have equations for it. Have you ever wondered how glorious it is that a large metal bed, like they call it sometimes, a large metal carrying many people and luggage goes on air, sustains for hours and lands, and they call it an aircraft? Let me tell you, they didn't just assemble it, they built it on paper. There are mathematical equations in physics and engineering factors that they used to build the machine. The machine was flying on paper first before they went and flew it physically. Let me say it again. The machine was flying on paper first, then they flew it physically. If the equations do not agree, it won't work. One of the breakthroughs that Isaac Newton's equations in mathematics and physics brought was that it was possible for them to build aircrafts and go to space. That is, Isaac Newton's equation opened up the possibility of flying objects outside of our solar system or outside of our atmosphere and to function in the solar system. So, by Isaac Newton's system of thought, they could build an object that left the influence of our atmosphere and the influence of this planet and get out. The rocket was flying on paper first before they launched it. If there was any mistake why it shouldn't fly on real, then there's a mistake somewhere between implementing what the paper stated. And even for structural engineers, before they build a plan, they design the building abstractly, and then the structure stands on paper before it stands real life. Nobody tries it first if it will stand physically. No, that risk is too much. It will stand on paper. What I'm saying is, you can build a nation on paper with these laws I've said to you and observe what runs a nation. That's wisdom. Like, we just built a crude society for you to see, a primitive society for us to analyze. Everyone here is built around that kind of understanding and built around those realities that your life pertains to one of these power sectors. Now let me say this. Why Jesus Christ is sending us to diverse spheres is to affect life in different ways. Because the kingdom itself is a civilization. All of these things that we have talked about, the education, the entertainment, the politics, the government, and all that, is what accounts for a civilization of a people. It relates down to their culture. And that's why they say the civilization changes with time. You can look at civilization of ancient time, is how they were doing things. When you read history and talk about civilization, they tell you their religious belief, how they were traveling, their crude equipments, how they were coming. That time their headship was by age, and then there were tribal leaders, their intermarriage and everything. But it's not like that. There's a sophistication. the kingdom also has its own. What you are supposed to do is that these things are not arrangement of the devil. They are arrangements that come into place and are necessary consequence of the fact that people live together. That is why you see Jesus and God himself instituted leadership. And when he called Israel out of Egypt, he had to institute the order. He talked about their moral laws, their religious laws, their civil laws. He told you that if your animal is feeding on somebody's land and they warn you and you don't listen, they warn you. He showed them how to live with each other. He showed them their civil laws, their religious laws. He instituted their feast. He talked about children. He showed them what to teach their children. He showed them the age that the children should be accounted as being matured and how to treat them. So you see that God himself understands that when people mix together, these arrangements automatically develop because it's a consequent outcome of communal living. Unless if you only created one individual per time, that is, if one comes, one will go, then only one person is living. Leadership is a function of necessity. It's not a convenient arrangement. So if this thing surely exists in our world today, people's lives are built around it. And if you will not find the person in church, you will find him in a classroom. If you don't find him in a classroom, you find him in an office. If you don't, you won't find a group of people in a religious gathering, but trust me, you will find them in corporate settings. The agenda of the kingdom is to infiltrate all these spheres. But to do that, you must approach these mountains with the understanding that you are sent. Now let me ask, this brief analogy, does it now make sense to what we have been saying before? Did you get that, or we should try again?
Exactly.
It's making sense to you, right? Let me say this. There is the consequent resultant of what happens when people combine together. We have that running in our world today. We have seen people influenced by our lives. We didn't share any worship meeting together. We didn't go to the same church. And no, there is somebody we met them in an eatery that's around where we usually did business. And so sometimes you go and sit there or you get something from there. And then that's where interaction started. Now, life heavily changed. There are other individuals, we met them in other outside stages. Let me tell you, the world is not in the church. The world is outside of the church. If you want to influence the world, you have to go into the world. Jesus is sending you to the spheres because humanity is built around the spheres already. It's not that is what happens when people live together. Now the structures have become sophisticated and complex because the modernization has made it complex. But listen to me, it is still operating under the same crude principles I showed you. If you build this nation on paper, you can penetrate it. If you look at Nigeria and build Nigeria on paper, you design the nation, you will see how to assess it. Somebody say, what does it mean to build Nigeria on paper? You can draw a line, mark out the structures of the nation, pull out factors out of it. This is this ministry. We have the factors of production here. People's lives are regulated by this decision. This is the judiciary and the legislative arm. Decrees and rules govern this place. People automatically will behave like this because of certain legislation. The factors of production dwindle with this kind of condition. So therefore, there is going to be an agitation because of shortage of this. You will analyze the whole market and say, okay, I know how to get these people. That's what is called critical analysis. The Holy Ghost is in your mind. Ah. Was it not when Saul was made king, Samuel, the Bible says, and he gave him the book where he told him what the kingdom should look like. Samuel ordered the kingdom of Israel in the book. He's a prophet, he can see. Paranemos. You are in a city, you can analyze the market. You don't need to, you have information by the Spirit of God. You can write out market on paper and analyze it on your sheet. I'm telling you that people flew aeroplane on their book before engineers built it. Is it possible? There are possibilities that exist. The mind of Jesus Christ in you is too powerful. Ordinary men flew aeroplane on paper. Oh, Corona Scabala. You can see these men, when their notebooks are so precious, till date, the notebooks of these scientists are being preserved in facilities that are heavily guarded. What is that? The world in a book. Now, let me shock you now. Even you living your life, they wrote you in a book. Oh, Makakadaba. David said, all my members are written in your book. Kukurumana. I come in the volume of the books as it is written of me. God wrote you. If God can write a human being, there's nothing that can be written. I'm speaking now from revealed operations that wisdom can give. Your destiny is written in a book. Your members, God wrote you in a book. I think that... You were wrote in a book. They took record of your members. Five fingers. His DNA looks like this. His blood group is like this. He has so many numbers of this active now. What are you talking about? Some of you are amazed by artificial intelligence. Some, the most popular one now, the chat, interactive AIs that work on that, and NLP models, natural language processors that can interact. You think it's a person you are talking to, sir? It's writing. You are talking to a written thing. That's why it's not a person. It's writing you are talking to. You chat with an artificial intelligence, it gives you details. You ask a question, he answers it wrong. You say, this is not what I mean. You say, oh, sorry about that. I thought you meant this. But if it's this you mean, this is what it is. You think it's something they wrote you are talking to. It's a writing. You can write anything out. You can write your whole nation on a book and look at it and find where you can access power. You can write your organization out in a book and see how you can penetrate by Jesus Christ. And God will show you the loopholes. He said, this place is why this is not working. Your business is failing. You can draw your business back on a sheet of paper or on a book. And God will say, well, you see this part, it has to be closed. Why don't you draw this and let something fill here? He said, what will fill here? He said, if you move this kind of installation in place, you need such a manager to manage here. Then delegate this your responsibility to this so you can function more on this. This role is not necessary. It's something that one person can handle. Move this person here and close this department and move the staff here. Move the staff here. Move the staffers here. In 1 second, you did an arrangement and your revenue tripled. You're like, what just happened? You drew the design of an organization, of your organization, and corrected the errors. Why it did not fly? Machines flew on paper, then they flew real time. Society is ordered within that caste system. These mountains are human life. The evangelism will be strategic. Oh my God. Today you are sent forth into diverse realms. Have the wisdom for them. Korosh kandala bokos ketarabash. Lepeketi koshka parada. Go ahead, just give God praise. Go ahead, give it praise. Candy. See, listen, by the end of this meeting tonight, this assembly of structures, in 7 years' time, I want to see everyone here as a prince in the realm. No lowland ask for the mountain. I've said this before, now I'm warning you. To be relevant for Jesus Christ, ask for the high things, where the influences are. Everything opening in the world today is influence. Coco Pacadia. A whole nation is sinking in godlessness because wrong powers took over the influence. People say we pray, let this occur, let this nation change. Sir, prayer is good, but prayer is answered through strategy. David said to God, deliver the Philistines to me. God said, okay. 2 Samuel chapter 5. He said, right now, this is what will happen. Circle around them from the mulberry trees. When you hear the sound on the trees, advance quickly. God has gone ahead of you. His prayer point wasn't, oh Lord, give me the Philistines. And then he ran to battle. They will slay him. They gave him strategy. Your prayer being answered is going to come at what to do. Most times we are praying to, and personally I'm telling you now, I'm waiting on God for something. Oh God. Not like we are doing that literally, but I'm showing you the level of passion and desperation we have inside of us waiting for an intervention. And we just say, and then all of a sudden wisdom will just come. This. Oh! 1 second, it clears. See, sir, the problem is lack of wisdom. It's not the devil. He no rich. Some years ago, we wanted to do a project. We were looking for a venue to handle it. We looked, the meeting was drawing. It was going to be a major program. The head of a ministry in the city, the central town, who was also the regional head of that, the arm of that ministry, was coming, was going to be around. They were going to be guests all over. We had no venue. It was our responsibility. We were praying, oh Lord, give us, what is this? 5 a.m. in the morning, we are out praying. And then he said, use this place. When I told the people, they didn't believe it, but I already had the instruction. We went with the group, the whole body, the congregation. I shared with them that this is that barren land is where we will use. Huh. We spoke to them the possibility. I say it's possible. By the time we are done there, you won't believe it. When we went there, they had farmed on the place. In less than 1 hour, 2 hours, the whole heap was clean. Before you say what, the decorators came and just changed the whole place. When the meeting was set, then when past leaders came and visitors came, they say, wow, you mean we have a place like this? After that meeting, it became normal to use it. We were looking for venue. Oh God, we spoke here. They say, no, we can't give you our venue. We are using, we spoke here. No, we can't give you. I say, use this site. In 1 second, it was a direction point. It wasn't really a prayer point. Listen, the prayer has strategy. Oh God, So you want, there is how to get it. Oh my God. Likoro tambalata skipoko shepele demokoski parada karaba repekete. So we are saying that 7 years from now, 12 years from now, when you are saying you'll be a prince in your realm, generating the influence of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, don't be foolish to go there to build your kingdom. You won't last there. The devil will slay you. Oh, you don't know that? So that is why we taught you the revelation of Jesus Christ and left you a pattern for Jesus. So when you go there, you are his kingdom that sent you. You won't say, how in my family, my children, can't stop that. We are talking about generations that Jesus gave his life for. Your family is involved in it. But not just your family, a whole generation is involved. Don't think about yourself, hence you disqualify yourself. You are not meat, you are not fit. You think beyond the borders of what is available just around you. You go further. My God. Rake subelete kesia. Kende repeke subrata kadia. Kuro mine keteri babas.
Go ahead, just be giving God praise. Lemberete konzebrete gezia. Punduru kuskende babas. I have something else. But not tonight anymore. I wanted to show you what I've captioned, 7 revolutions that can still occur. What is my time? Oh, it's past 9. I'm late by 8 minutes already. 7 revolutions that can still occur. We'll move it to the roundtable weekend of this week because we hold meetings every weekend, Friday and Saturday. 7 revolutions that can still occur. It will give you a picture to where you will apply yourself. 7 revolutions that can still occur. These revolutions are related to all these spheres I've spoken about.
seven revolutions that can still occur. My God, when you hear these revolutions, you will see where your idea fits in. I saw a testimony here where somebody said an idea flashed. Listen, let me talk about this. Some of you are waiting for a mighty revelation of Jesus Christ coming from heaven. The sky split apart. You see light. Angels are like crusade all over you. You may never see it till Jesus comes. He's not interested in that. Supernaturality does not suggest being spectacular. That's what God said to Kenneth Hagin. Say, don't wait for me to come. I can just lead you in your spirit. It's enough. It's still me. Some of you, it's Jesus that spoke to your heart. He just flashed the light. But you didn't see a sound from heaven. So you discarded it. You failed. You discarded it. You failed. You discarded it. You failed. It's the flash of Jesus Christ in your spirit. But it flashed. You are supposed to pick it and hold it and pray in tongues until it becomes word. Because what you pray in tongues has meaning. Sometimes it is God, the message of the Holy Spirit to you, that you have prayed in tongues. The understanding will flow in your spirit. That's why you see that when people prophesy, they prophesy and pray in tongues a little. They are clarifying the message. Some of you will have a flood of revolutions in your mind. Just be documenting it down. Document it down and wait for others. Jesus Christ will come and flicker in your heart like light and say, move in this direction. See, the great things that be, they not start spectacular. The rain that came after 3.5 years started as a cloud that was like a man's finger. It will just come little. It takes faith to hold it and say, this is the very life of Jesus Christ. The whole king of the earth was born, but he wasn't born in a 5-star hotel. He was born in a place where animals stay. How foolish can that be? When the wise men, they were very wise, when they journeyed, they went straight to the palace to look for him. That's what caused trouble. Your king may not be in the palace. He's there in the animal center. Animal confinement. So you don't wait for the whole plane to shake. Wait for the single light of Christ to flash. Catch it. Hold it, hold it, hold it there. Pray all your tongues to it. It will open. I've seen simple statements unpack. Sometimes I go for it. I told us in the assembly that the first day, the word I want to say to you is that structures are rising in the earth. Everything we said is coming from that same. When the message of Christ unpacks, you can write it from generations to generation. Jesus' speaking is so mysterious. One sentence can sponsor you forever. Your children will come and see it out of it. Don't be foolish to lose the light from Jesus. It is his arrangement to secure your destiny. You can be a prince, a star, a celebrity in your days. It's that light that makes men. That light that makes men. As it's flashing in your spirit, catch it. As it's flashing in your heart, catch it. As it's flashing in your soul, hold it. It is your revolution that you are seeing. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Komba seke ruba, kanda balaka skupalada. There will still be seven revolutions in the earth. Karadekosh Kabaladia. There will still be revolutions in Christ. Le kokora pakateke suparadadia. And out of this assembly tonight, the technocrats are rising out of this place. Men that are revolutions moving. Men that are tornadoes moving. Men that will change the course of all existence. They accuse the apostles of turning the world upside down. The men that will come and kick the world out of its orbit are here. Candy Broto Scandale Koratikeze, so that we have a world upside down that is outside of its orbit for Jesus Christ. Le Brandi Korotokosi Kalabagadia. I speak to everyone here and I speak by decree, by this. Oh Jesus, Le Korita Paradeke Subrada. the revolutions in Christ that he has spoken for years, that we ravage all the spheres of human endeavor, that there will be no recovery, as the prophet has decreed that before them a fire devoured and behind them a desolate wilderness, nothing escaped. There is a revolution, an inferno, a rage from God that sets everything out of place, a holy chaos by the Holy Spirit. That revolution will still occur. The men who will be revolutionaries in their feet are out of this place today. Larry Kero Damba Garcia. So I decree a robbing of the spirit of revolution. Whatever area your calling is, tonight I decree that you are covered with the garment of revolution. You will be uncomfortable with your present environment because the spirit inside you will reject everything you see, because you will see there is more. They say truth is the secret of revolution. Revelation brings revolution. Therefore I decree your mind open to new depths, your mind open to new realities, your mind open to new possibilities. Let me tell you, there is still another way that thing can be done. There is still another system that can be in place. It mustn't be done the way it's done right now. There is still another way. Men have not taught it. The scripture says, for eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. But these things are revealed to us by the Spirit. What has not entered the heart of man? What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard. Now receive access to them by the Holy Spirit. Wisdom, revelation, light, unveiling. I speak to the dark things of the earth, the dark places of the earth, the dark corners of creation. Assets that have been hidden, realities that have been obscured. Right now, light shine all over them that these men will see. Light shine over these realities that these women will see. Shine over this environment that they will pick up light and inventions. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak to the dark places of the earth where treasures are hidden, for treasures are buried under the soil. But right now, I speak to the dark places of the earth. Light shine. Light shine. Let light come. Let this things.
Oh.
Leko sita. Beteke. Totally annihilate every seed of smallness in anyone here, seed of mediocrity, seed of littleness. I annihilate it by God tonight. And through you is established the seed of God that grows up to a mighty plant. The mountains will fear you when you approach. Did not the mountains quake and leap like ram? They trembled at the presence of the living God. When you approach this time, they will fear you. Kalabakaski Polodogodos. Where is Sister Joyce? Lekusha Kalabate Protosa. Lepreketeke Librotokos Kotolo Brotokos. Likata. Is Joyce around here today? Liko Tambratas Kepala Diakoro. Lepeke Skunda Labrahanda Koski Labagadia. Is Joyce there? Lepritos Makande. Rotokoski Palada Kadio.
Yes, I'm here.
God spoke to Zachariah in his prophecy. He said, say to Joshua, three men will come from Babylon. They will bring to you ornaments, gold, silver. He said, use it and make a crown for Joshua the high priest and prophesy to him. I'm saying to you tonight, every mystery we have spoken about, let it be fashioned into a crown and put on your head. Such that every wisdom, every revelation that we have spoken about is a crown you wear. It's an ornament you are. As a matter of fact, it's an entity you have become. What I'm saying to you right now, every mystery I've spoken about is something you are. You will be the living manifestation of this revelation. Koti Barana Kosi Panda Lekotopra. Right now, as a weight of crown over your head, fashioned all this revelation, congealed, fashioned into an ornament, a crown, put on your head so that it becomes an individual, a reality that you are, and a manifestation you effortlessly demonstrate. Amen. It is so in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, give you praise.
Thank you.
My God, go ahead, give God praise.
Thank you. Bless you.
People will never recover. So please go. Wisdom continues to speak. You read your wisdom inside book, but the scripture teaches us that wisdom says, I am wisdom. Wisdom speaks. You can see his spirit revealed, but wisdom is a person. So wisdom lives in you. When you have wisdom, it will speak to you. Proverbs teaches us, he said, when you sleep, it will talk to you. When you are awake, it will give you counsel. Wisdom is living in you. Now go and be quiet. Let wisdom continue to teach you. It will show you your destiny. He said, by me kings reign. It will reveal to you your kingdom. It will tell you how to rule. It will teach you. Wisdom will teach you. Go now and be quiet. Let wisdom unpack revelation to you. You have left here with diversities of encounters. Let wisdom teach you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Know you're getting, get understanding. It will flow through revelation. Father, thank you. So much has happened. So much has happened. Well, whatever we still have to do, the roundtable of next week will continue. Unsealing the mysteries of revival as it has been captured, we go on. We give praise to God for all these things we have seen, and we give him thanks forever. In the name of Jesus.